The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Take care not to perform righteous deeds in order that people may see them. Otherwise, you will have no recompense from your heavenly Father. When you give alms, do not blow a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, to win the praise of others. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your right hand know, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your almsgiving may be secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that others may see them. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go to your inner room, close the door, and pray to your Father in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites. They neglect their appearance so that they may appear to others as to be fasting. Amen, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face, so that you may not appear to be fasting, except to your Father who is hidden. And your Father who sees what is hidden will repay you." The Gospel of the Lord. In this time of Lent, Jesus, who loves us so much, wants to bring us closer to himself. And so he calls us to a new way of living. So we are going to make an effort to learn a new way of living where Jesus Christ is at the center. This is the greatest love affair ever, ever, ever. God so loved the world, he sent his only Son to us. And Jesus loves us so much, he literally died for us. And this love affair is so powerful that it totally transforms our lives if we take it seriously, so that we can be lifted up and know the love of God and live in this love of God. You know, people in the world today do not know this love. So they run after all kinds of things and they get attached to all kinds of things. Are there things that you are attached to that seem very important to you? Like some kind of gadgets or cell phones or whatever it can be, and you think, oh, I could not live without this. It's becoming such an attachment in my life, and we become closed into these things, and the Lord wants to set us free. I'm not saying that those things in themselves are bad, but when they control your life, then we have a problem. And how do we know they control our lives? Well, when we should be doing something else, and we can't stop messing around with that little gadget, then we got a problem. You know, mom and dad are saying, it's dinner time, and you can't stop, because you are with your toy, and you are doing your own thing. And then, there's a problem, because family life begins to break down. And we make our little toys more important than dad and mom and our brothers and sisters. That's the problem. Not that those things are bad, they're okay. But when you let them run your life, then you have a problem. And this doesn't go just for children, does it? That applies to grown-ups as well. Are we able to control ourselves? Are we able to direct our lives according to the Lord and know it's time now for family to be together? We're going to shut off all these gadgets and all the things. We're going to sit together and have dinner and talk to each other. Can you believe that? 45 minutes or so without texting? Can we survive 45 minutes or so talking to each other as a family and loving one another and being there looking at each other in the face because you love one another? Sometimes the only way that we can really love one another is by sacrificing. If you really love your mom, if you really love your dad, if you really love your children, there's gotta be sacrifice. Sacrifice means you put something down in order for this love to be real. What good is it to say, I love you, but I don't have time for you? Is that real? I love you very much, but you know what? I don't have time for you. Imagine if Jesus had said that to us. True love calls for sacrifice. We are all here because our moms and dads sacrificed. They said yes to God. They said yes to us coming into this world. They knew very well that it would mean sacrifice, and they did it out of love. Isn't that awesome? And we should be grateful. Thank you, Mom and Dad. Thank you, God, that you love me and you sacrifice. And when we love, we sacrifice joyfully. Isn't like, oh, you know, I have to put down these toys because it's dinner time. What a tragedy. No, we do it gladly because my family is worth it. Isn't it? I love my family, so I'm going to do it. What happens if you allow things to run your life? If you lose control, if you just have to be so involved with all this junk that you cannot love one another, what happens? We become more and more slaves of these things until we lose freedom. We lose authority of our own lives. We become dominated by all these things. And God doesn't want that to happen to you because you are too precious. God created us to love Him, to love one another. And so Lent is a time to learn to love. And because we're learning to love, we learn to sacrifice.
And we pray, Lord, what is it in my life that could be out of control? I cannot justify it. I cannot excuse it. I have to face it before the Lord and ask Him forgiveness and take it to confession and repent and get over with it and start a new life. Jesus will be there helping us, but we have to take the steps. We have to have faith and do it. That's what Lent is all about. So don't think that Lent is some kind of devotion, you know, I'm going to try to do something for Lent. Let's be real and go to the heart of it. What is in my life that God really, really wants to change? And don't offer Jesus something else. Well, Jesus, I'm not really willing to change my life, you know? So I'm going to do this for you. Is that love? No. Let Jesus show you really what He wants to change in your hearts, in my heart. And don't be afraid, because He loves us. And we are going to end up much happier, with great freedom, by sharing in His life. And so today the church tells us about three things that we can do. One is giving alms. You know what that means? That means being generous with others, with the poor, with our brothers and sisters who are less fortunate. Do some sacrifice and think of the poor. Almsgiving. The second thing the gospel tells us today is also important, very, very important, is prayer. What's prayer? That means communicating with God, mostly listening to God. Because how can we talk to God if we haven't even listened to Him? So mostly we listen to Him, we think of Him, think of what He has done for me. Thank you, Lord. You love me so much. Ponder Holy Scripture. Ponder the Word of God, the Gospels. Think about Jesus, what He's done for us. And say, Jesus, help me to live united to You. And then we talk and we pray. But first, we think about Him. We communicate by allowing Him to enter into our hearts. And then we share with Him in prayer. So almsgiving and prayer. And number three is fasting. You know what that means? Fasting. That means that we are eating too much. And that means that we can stop eating so much and offer it to Jesus. Not just to look better, you know, because I'm going to be skinnier. That's a side effect. That's good. That's wonderful. But stop eating so much because it's hurting your spirituality. You see, when we are too attached to food, we get out of control. That's one of the ways we get out of control. And it's not only eating, but it could be other habits that are just dominating our lives. So we can fast from eating. We can fast from TV. We can fast from internet. We can fast from texting. That doesn't mean that you don't do it anymore. It just means that you put it under control. That is not running your life. That you put limits to it so that you go on to other things. Having authority over your life, over your eating, over everything you do, because we have a life in Christ, a life ordered in Christ. So we need to do fasting. In fact, today is a day of abstinence. And that means that we today do not eat any meat as a sacrifice, and as an offering to the Lord. Just like in Good Friday, we don't eat any meat. And all the Fridays of Lent are days of fasting, which means we only have one large meal and the other are light meals, and we don't eat anything between meals. No candy, no chewing gum. We offer it to the Lord. Because Friday we remember the day that Jesus died for us on the cross. And as we do that, as we stop eating so much, we see how our spirit lifts up and communicates better with God. And we become more beautiful, not only in our body, but in our soul. Our soul begins to be filled with light from God. We begin to see things we didn't see before. But the Lord warns us today, be careful when you do these three things, almsgiving, prayer, and fasting, that you do it from the heart. That you don't do it like the hypocrites. What does that mean, a hypocrite? Someone that is making believe for others to see. Oh, he's so holy. You see how he fasts. He must be a saint. Well, if you do it for that reason, then you are a hypocrite, Jesus says. We don't want to do it because we want to make an impression on people, because we want people to think that we are so holy. We need to do it from the heart, for God. For God to see. So we don't show off about it. We do it with humility for God. Now, let me ask you a question. Suppose it's Sunday. That's the day of the Lord. And you really don't feel like going to Mass that day. You just don't feel it that day. You know, you are just tired. You just want to stay home and watch TV and not go to Mass. And then you're going to say, well, I'm not going to go to Mass because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I only do things when I really feel them. When I really feel like loving Jesus, when I really feel like going to Mass, then I'll do it. But today I really don't feel it, so I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to stay here at home. What do you think about that? That's completely off the mark. Why? Because to do things overriding your own desires is not hypocrisy. That's what Jesus is telling us all the time to do. Let's see, parents. Don't raise your hands. I'm just asking you to think about it. How many of you feel like going to work every morning? Wow, is it exciting? I'm going to go to work this morning. Great. Or do you say, gee, I don't feel like it today, so I'm not going to go to work because I don't want to be a hypocrite. I only go to work when I really feel like it. Is that going to work? I don't think you're going to stay in that job very long. So a hypocrite is not one who is capable of doing what is right even when it's hard. Actually, that is virtue. When you don't feel like going to Mass, when you don't feel like doing what is right, and you still overcome that tendency of the flesh, when you overcome your feelings and do what is right, that is virtue. That means that you really love. That's not hypocrisy. That is the greatest love. When you don't feel like going to Mass and you still come because you love Jesus, that's when you show him the most love. Hypocrisy is something completely different. Hypocrisy is somebody who comes to Mass because he wants to be seen. You know, I'm so pious, you know, I'm coming to Mass so everybody knows how holy I am. Not because they want to worship God. In other words, hypocrisy is a lie. It's a farce. In the other hand, when you know what is right, but it's hard for you to do it, and you still do it out of love for God, and you overcome those tendencies of the flesh, and you make the extra effort, that is beautiful. That's what it's all about. Let me give you another example. Dads, you feel like screaming to your wives. You're angry, and you realize that it's wrong. And you control yourselves. And you realize screaming doesn't resolve any problems. It makes everything even worse. So I'm going to control myself, and I'm going to speak with kindness and love. Is that hypocrisy? Are you going to say, no, I'm going to really be the way I am because I'm not a hypocrite? Be honest. If you act out of control, you are acting out of control. You don't have control of your life. That's not the issue of hypocrisy. We need to learn to make an effort to do what is right, even when it's hard. And wives, the same thing, of course, with your husbands. We all need to make an effort in this Lent, with God's grace, to renounce to the passions that go out of control, the desires that go out of control, and learn how to die to ourselves out of love for God and out of love for our families and love for other people. To be a Christian is to be a disciple of Christ. And Jesus Christ did not feel like getting crucified. He said, may this cup pass from me, but your will be done, he said to his Father. And even though he did not have the desire to suffer, he did suffer willingly out of love for us. He embraced the cross with all his heart out of love for us. That is our example. That is our model. Are we willing to embrace our cross for Jesus and for one another? We know very well we're not going to do it unless we train, unless we enter into a discipline of love. Look at the way the world is going, the TV and the media. Everything is going out of control. That's the antithesis of the way of Christ. And so we have to choose. Do I belong to the world or do I belong to Christ? You can't have it both. If I belong to Christ, I'm still living in the world, but I know who runs my life. It's Jesus. And I'm not going to say, but everybody's doing it. Have you heard that before? But mom, everybody in school has one of those. But mom, everybody's doing it. Well, I would say, I'm not everybody. I don't follow the crowd. I follow Jesus. Or we say, we are in the 21st century. And so things have changed, you know. Now everything goes. No, it doesn't. Just because everybody runs down the precipice, you're not going to do it too, are you? So it's not because everybody's doing it or because we're in the 21st century. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Morality doesn't change. What is the way of Christ and the way of behaving 2,000 years ago stands today just as well. Some superficial things can change, but the reality of things doesn't change. The reality of who we are as men and women of God, as children of God, cannot change. And scriptures do not change. The word of God doesn't change. Are we going to change and follow the world? Or are we going to be faithful to Jesus and grow to the fullness of Christ? That is Lent. Do you see what is at stake? Finally, in a couple of seconds, you're going to be called forth and signed with the sign of the cross on your foreheads with ashes. What for? To remind us that We came from dust, and in dust we will become. But if we belong to Christ, we know that death is not the end, that we are going to live with Him forever. And so the little time that we got in this world, we are going to use it well for Jesus. And so when I put ashes on your head, and we remember that we are dust, and that everything in this world is passing, we want to hold on to the treasure that is our faith. And I will say to you, repent and turn to the gospel. And put ashes in your head. Now, a question. Do you think that by having a bunch of ashes put in your forehead, you're going to be any better off? Or that you're going to become instantly holier? No. No way. It's only a sign. It's a language. It's to remind us of a reality that we cannot see. But it depends on you and it depends on me that we understand that language and take it for real and say, I want to live my faith. I want to be signed with a cross in my heart. You know, it's like the wedding ring. Is the wedding ring going to make the marriage be perfect? No way. Is the marriage ring going to keep you faithful? No way. It's a sign. It's a language. I don't have one, see? It's saying, I am covenanted. I am committed. I belong to someone. Someone belongs to me. We are covenanted, united in the sacrament of marriage. It's a sign. But the sign has to be lived in the heart. The sign itself has no power. Otherwise, we would be superstitious. The sign by itself would have no power. We have to live it in the heart. We have to live Lent in the heart. So let us begin.